to the cross where your love poured out. And bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. And rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Thank you guys for that this morning. Well, good morning. Again, I threw my shovel away. Now I'm going to talk to you about the Word. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to start in Acts chapter 1. We're going to stay there just for a very short time this morning. Then we're going to turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is where we're going to meet of the message this morning. This is really where we're going to be focusing our attention. The title of the sermon this morning is Busy Waiting. Last summer, I was riding a motorcycle around town, and I came up to the stop sign over by Freed. Go straight, you hit Mifflin. And so here I am, I'm at this red light, and I'm waiting for it to turn. Car comes by and keeps going. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting, and I think it's going to change soon. One of these red lights, you know, I think maybe about 2 minutes is the max on these red lights. And then after about 2 minutes, they change, they turn green, and you go on through. So I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and the light never changes. I think, well, maybe it has a sensor in it, and I'm on the motorcycle, and it just can't see me. I'm not big enough. So I wiggle around a little bit, I'm waving, I'm kicking legs out, I'm doing everything I can to see if this thing has a sensor in it so that the light will change. Now you can imagine, occasionally there'd be someone go by and they're looking at me trying to get that red light's attention, like it can see me. And so I ease up a little bit and I'm waiting and it still doesn't turn. No joke, I sit there about 5 minutes before I finally decide that I've waited long enough, I'm going for it. And so I just pulled right on out there. I was hoping that there wasn't a cop around. I was really, really hoping. I guess at this point that I've already said I'm guilty, right, Brad? So I did. It was still red. It never changed. I guess it just didn't see me. I don't know. But it never changed. So I finally just eased on out, and I was back to riding and enjoying my day. Well, kind of the same thing happens to you and I in life if you really think about it. Occasionally, seems like we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting, maybe for one door to open, and we're hoping that this door is going to open so we can walk through, and we're waiting and this door never opens. And we get frustrated and we get discouraged. All of these emotions run through our mind and we just can't seem to get a break. Everybody else is doing well. Everyone else are having their dreams fulfilled, it seems. And then we're still stuck here waiting. You ever been there? You ever feel like you've just waited and you've waited and you've waited and you've waited for nothing to happen? Well, this morning we're going to look at some scripture and we're going to try and figure out what it is exactly God wants us to understand about waiting. And it's important that we look at this from a biblical perspective, because I think it's easy for us to get in the flesh and try and figure things out. So here it is. After the resurrection of Jesus, that he appears to the disciples and to many other people for 40 days. And he makes himself known in his power and his might, all of these things. But when the disciples first see him, they're getting ready to embark on to Jerusalem. And so they see Jesus, and Jesus tells them right here in Acts chapter 1, he says for them to wait. And you think about that for a minute, and you're thinking, what do you mean, wait? And so here's what it says. And being assembled together with them, Jesus being together with the disciples, it says, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So here it is, and you're told, don't leave, but stay here. Because there's some waiting to do, and while you're waiting, right at the end of this, when the time is right, you're going to experience something phenomenal. You're going to experience a blessing like you have never been blessed before. And so they're told to wait, and they're to wait for the promise. I like to wait for the promises of God. Amen. Especially when you get to experience them fulfilled. What a blessing it is to be waiting on God, and then all of a sudden, God blesses. There's nothing better than to have a door opened by God, is it? Amen. And so here it is in the scripture, and it's powerful. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And then he goes on and he says this, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so as long as Jesus was there, they couldn't be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was still there. But it was time for them to do some waiting. What do you think those days were like for them that they were waiting? What do you think was running through their minds? You're here. You're real. You're in the flesh and blood. You understand what it means to wait for something that you're really hoping for, that you really want, that you really desire. And then it seems like it just never comes. This morning, we're going to look at a scripture. Prayerfully, God will bless with this. And you'll understand, actually, as we look on through to Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 12, about waiting. This is really the best biblical example of a servant waiting on God. One door was closed, and eventually God opened another door. And so there are really three things that I want to share with you this morning concerning the Word of God about being busy waiting. With that, I want to ask, if you turn again to Acts chapter 16 and stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Acts 16 verses 6 and following. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That's a message all on its own. We're not going to stop there. Verse 7 says, after they had come to Mysia and they tried to go into Bithynia, the Spirit did not permit them. going and share this, they passed through Mysia again and down to Troas. Actually, when they were leaving Bethania, now that's actually leaving from Bethania, they were actually going towards Russia at this point. And so the scripture doesn't tell you that, but I just wanted to kind of lay that out there for you. Verse 9 says, and it appeared in a vision to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood, and he pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. They're sailing from Troas, ran down a straight course to Samothrace. The next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in the city for some days. Will you pray with me? Father, Lord, today as we see through your word this morning that sometimes you just don't open doors for us to go the direction maybe that we want to go. And Father, I pray that you would help us to see through Scripture, that we would understand the steps that we need to take while we're waiting on you. And Father, that we would even understand that while we're waiting on you, that we need to be busy waiting. That we don't just need to be stagnant and still, but we really need to be serving. So Father, today I pray through your word that you and you alone would be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So, again, we'll talk about waiting on God this morning, and understand this, that there, you know, when it comes to the Word of God, there's steps just for about everything, right? It's these principles that we find out through Scripture, and we try and take these principles and apply them to our lives, and you're trying to think, well, what are the principles that I can apply to my life about waiting on God, about being patient where I am? And I want to share these things with you, because I think it's vitally important that we understand the steps to waiting on God. It's not as difficult as we make it out to be so many times. And so number one is this, the steps to following God's will, the steps to waiting on God, whatever you want to call them. Number one is vitally important. It's just simple. Trust Him. You just got to trust Him. Trust Him with your situation. And you remember the disciples were told, the apostles there in Acts chapter 1, that they wanted to leave Jerusalem. The crucifixion had already taken place, and Jesus had been raised from the dead. They were ready to leave. They were ready to go get started. They were empowered again. They were excited. It was just kind of an emotional, physical excitement. They'd not yet been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said, you're not quite ready yet. You need to wait so that you can be empowered. The gift of the Father, the gift the Father has promised, is on its way, but not yet. Wait, hold up a minute. And so here it is. They were waiting, and now they had already, at this point, when we jump 15 chapters ahead, Pentecost had come. They had received the power of the Holy Spirit, and the church was busy making disciples. And so Paul, who was one who was against the church in every angle, every way possible. He was against the church, and finally Jesus saves him. He's on the road to Damascus. You know the story. He's going to Damascus. He had papers in his hand. He's going to go destroy the church. Yet on the way to Damascus, King Jesus appears to Paul. Nobody else can see it. Everyone else only sees a brilliant light. They hear thundering and rumblings from the heaven, and so they attribute that as the voice of God, and they see that there's something going on with Paul. Paul's life is completely changed forever as he sees a vision of God. And then God tells him what's going to take place from this point on. So for 3 days he's blinded. For 3 days he isn't able to see. For 3 days, but he's told that he is to suffer many things for the glory of God. And so he receives it. He realizes that it's Jesus that's speaking to him. And then he begins to get busy. He begins to get busy serving King Jesus. And here is what we find him. He's serving. This is his first missionary trip, and he's serving, and he's being faithful to do the things that God had called him to do, that God had appointed him to do. And he's trying to go somewhere where God had allowed him to see this vision of this man. And so on his way to Macedonia, he's trying to go through one area, and he's forbidden. Holy Spirit won't allow him to do so. No, you can't go there. Door's closed. Right? Can you see that? Look. this door is open over here. You have to get up and move over here if you want to see this door close. But I love this. This is a great illustration. Door just simply closed. If a door is closed, you can't go through it without having the skill to get the door open again. And according to the Word of God, that's not something that you have the power to do. You can't open a door if God has closed it. It doesn't matter how hard you try. And so the big picture here is just to trust God. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in trusting God. Amen? I'm interested in waiting on God for anything that He has for me, for anything that He has for my family, for anything that He has for us. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes it gets hard waiting, doesn't it? Waiting, and we're waiting. And so you know this scripture so well. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says this: trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. But listen, lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So here you are. You're determined that you're just going to trust God with whatever situation lies before you. You're going to trust God, totally surrendering your time to Him. You're just going to trust God. So you wait, and you're trusting. You're not leaning on your own understanding, but with all of your heart, you're trusting God. And so I want to just ask you this question, just a quick survey. I don't want you to raise your hands. I just want you to think. Are you trusting God for whatever you're waiting on right now? Are you trusting God with that? You have to. You don't have a choice. You have to trust God. And in the meantime, if you would realize that it's important for you to trust God, it makes the wait so much better. Just trust God with it. Trust Him. Steps to waiting on God. You've got to trust Him. And so here's the thing. Let me share this. Under trusting God, a point that I want to make is this. God often reveals His will in segments. Wouldn't it be great if God just laid His will out there for you and He said, this is what I want for you and for your life. And He just put it in your head, or He wrote you a letter. Wouldn't it be great if He just wrote you a letter and there He signed it at the bottom, God? Wouldn't it be great if you got a letter in the mail from God and it told you everything that your life was supposed to be, everything that you were supposed to experience? It would be wonderful. Or if God visited you in a dream and He said, okay, Brad, this is what I want from you. I was waiting on God one time. Tracy and I, we were early in the ministry. We're struggling spiritually. There were some things that were going on. The devil was really weighing heavy on my heart. And God had literally, when I surrendered to ministry, no joke, He literally just threw me right into the pastorate. I mean, he didn't waste any time. And I was green. I mean, you want to talk about someone that didn't have a clue. I didn't know anything about anything. I could preach a little bit, and I was excited to be able to do that. But then God said, no, but you're going to go and you're going to pastor this church. And I'm thinking, but I don't want to pastor that church, but God didn't really leave me an option. And so we go and we pastor that church. I knew everyone in it. I knew everybody. There was no one there that I didn't know. As a matter of fact, there was aunts and cousins who went to church there, still do. But God opened that door, and so we go and we're there. And for two and a half years, we're waiting on God. And I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, God, you know, you grew the church. The church has grown initially, and now we're kind of at a stalemate. What do you want? I don't know. I don't understand. Help me know what the next steps are. And I'm praying at the altar one day, and it's just like a Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember what day it is. But while I'm sitting there praying, come here, Cameron. I need you. Just get down here on your hands and knees. Just this is exactly what I experienced. I need you to see this. I'm praying and I'm crying out to God. And as God is my witness today, I can tell you that this happened to Brad Patterson. I'm praying and God touches me from the top of my head all the way down my spine. And I feel God's hand just as though I touched Cameron there today. God said, wait. Thank you, brother. You know what you do when God does that? Do you know what you do? You wait. It's exactly what you do. You don't get up and run away. You wait on God. And so for another 2 years, we waited on God and we didn't do anything, but we were faithful to preach Jesus, but we waited on God. Then there was a Sunday morning, went by, and one of my professors from Union called me and said, Brad, send me your resume. I want to send it to this church in Scotts Hill. And we did, and we sent the resume, and you know, a little while later, God called us to Scotts Hill. You know that story, but the thing that I needed to share with you, I need you to get this, is it's about trusting God, and God, He doesn't always reveal His will to us. He doesn't just lay it out there. He makes us wait and trust Him. He reveals it to us in segments. Scripturally, you see this. When God called Abraham to get out of his father's house and to go to a country that He had already given him, that He was going to show him, the call was for Abraham to get up and be faithful, trust God, but be moving while he was waiting. You know what Abraham did? He got up and he trusted God. He went and he walked and he served. And there were some times along the way that Abraham messed up, that he didn't trust God completely with everything. But all in all, Abraham was wise in his direction. He believed this is the direction God was calling him, and so he went. And the same thing we see right here for Paul. Paul knew he was called to Macedonia. But how was he going to get there? See, it's about the journey. And he didn't understand from his perspective how he was going to get there. But one thing Paul knew for sure is that he was going to make it. Isn't that great? Isn't it great when God calls you to something, when you can see it, when you begin to understand it, even though you don't know how it's going to happen, you're believing God for it. Wow. You trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Literally, He will make straight your paths, or your path. God will make it straight. And so out of all of the obstacles that could interfere with me walking down this aisle right here, I don't have to worry about that because God has cleared it. He's made it straight. Do you get that vision? Do you see that when God is in it, you don't have to worry about open doors. You don't have to worry about closed doors, because if God is in it, whatever it is with your life, you just wait on God and trust. But while you're waiting, here it is. We're going to go on and move to the next thing. Is you have to do something I think is important. And this is, it hurts sometimes to do this, but we see when these doors are closed in our faces, it seems, we get discouraged, don't we? You ever been discouraged? I mean, we're waiting on God. Number two is this. Don't let closed doors discourage you. It's easy. Oh, it's easy. It's easy to be discouraged by closed doors. It doesn't matter what kind of door it is that's closed. It just absolutely makes no difference. The idea is that you don't get discouraged. Why would I not get discouraged? Because you're going to trust God. That's what you're going to do. You're going to trust Him right where you are. You're going to trust Him. You're going to be faithful. You're not going to lean on your own understanding, but you're going to trust Him. Paul wanted to make his way to Macedonia, and he was going to go through Asia Minor to get there, but God said, you're not going that way. Because God had a plan. God was going to send him somewhere else so that while he was on the way, he could preach the gospel continually and faithfully. That's what was happening. Even though he couldn't go through Asia Minor, which was the straightest route, God forbid him. God didn't allow him to do that. God took him another way. It may be that you're right in the middle of that right now where there has been a door closed for you. I don't know what those doors look like. Cameron, I don't have any idea what they look like for you. I don't even know what those closed doors look like for me other than just a door that I'm not able to walk through. But in the scripture, really, there's 6 or 7 times where it talks about God opening a door. 6 or 7 times. One time in the scripture, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, one time in the scripture, it talks about God closing a door. But here's something that I need you to get when God closes the door. Listen to what the scripture says. He's talking to the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. And so here it is. He's pouring this out. And he's sharing with them. These are the words of Him who is holy and true. What His opens, what He opens, no one can shut. You hear that? What God opens, no one can shut. Isn't that good? If God opens a door, you don't have to worry about it being closed. Amen? I like that. So here it is. He's saying, these are the words of Him who is holy and true. What He opens, no one can shut. That's powerful all by itself, isn't it? It's powerful because it's the Word of God, but it's powerful. And then he goes on, he says this, and what He shuts, no one can open. Oh! No one can open it? Why? Why? Because God has a way that isn't your way. God has a plan that might not be your plan. And so it goes on and it says this, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. It's powerful, isn't it? You think about open doors. You think about closed doors. And in life, it's so easy to be discouraged because we hope for something fantastic with our lives, with our education, with our futures. We hope for something wonderful with a home, with a car, whatever it is. And it seems like maybe there's one door shut after another. But have you ever thought that these doors may be closed to protect you? But here's the truth. That is powerful and wonderful. If there's a closed door, you're not going through it. But oh, if God opens it, nobody can shut it. So don't be discouraged if there is a closed door before you. Don't. You've been praying and hoping for a job and you didn't get it, or a promotion and you didn't get it. Don't discourage over that. Why? Because God is not finished yet. God may have something different for you even than you understand. Let me share with you this story. Brad, go get, please, brother, I thought I had a tissue with me. Thank you. You guys know it's this time of year and my nose runs. Thank you, GG. So, this story I need to share with you. Just let me share it. This guy went to a country church and he's a singer and they were just going to have a singing revival. It was wonderful. They were there and this guy, he'd sung a few songs. His band members were up there and they were singing a few songs. And then the preacher came up. And when the preacher came up, there was a couple of men who brought a box out. When they brought this box out, they placed it up on the stage where the musician was and the preacher was up here too. So the preacher goes over to that box and he opens it and the musician is over here and he's just kind of looking. What's in the box? Kind of curious, but kind of scared. I would have been scared. What do you bring on stage in a box? So the preacher goes over there and he just puts his hand down in there. When he puts his hand down in there, he pulls out a snake. He's holding the snake like this, and the singer is over there. He said, "Preacher, where's the back door?" He said, "We don't have a back door." He said, "Where would you like one?" Can I get an amen? You come slinging snakes up here, I'm gone. Where would you like one? He was going to make it. But when God closes the door, you're not going to make another one somewhere else. But you got to be faithful and you got to remain strong and you got to remain diligent. You got to see where God is already working. Right? If there's a door closed and you've been hoping for it to open, you've got to just step back from the situation. You know, you're so close to the tree that you can't see around it. But step back, and when you step back, you can see what's going on. Amen? And so you step back, and so Henry Blackaby says this, and experiencing God, and I quote, he says, "When you begin to follow God and circumstances seem to close doors of opportunity, go back to the Lord and clarify what God said." Pretty simple, pretty straightforward, right? Just go back to God and try to figure out what it is that God said. He most often is not calling you to a task, but to a relationship. And he goes on and he finishes out like this. Through that relationship, he's going to do something through your life. So where is God working right now for you? And we get discouraged and we lose hope. Listen, we're waiting on God to say yes all the time. We only want to hear God say yes. But for Paul, when God said no, it didn't mean that God still wasn't going to bless. It just meant that for now, this was a no. He wasn't to go that route for now. He was hopeful for a yes still, but he believed, he was trusting God, and he believed that God was going to make a way even though it was different. He believed God was going to make a way. What about you? Do you believe God for those divine appointments where for you that you've been closed door one after another, and then all of a sudden maybe it's trying to get through to your children and you've been just running into a wall, right? And you're hopeful and you're praying and you're passionate about praying, and still you're not making any way. You've got to be faithful to God. Through that, you have to be faithful to God. And in the process of you trusting Him with it and you committing your child to the Lord, I believe with all of my heart that God is going to be glorified. Amen? I believe that. And so you've got to continue to be faithful. So the things that we think as failures and problems, they often end up, listen, they often end up being blessings in disguise. So the last and final thing that I need to share with you this morning, I'm going to do this quickly. This is important. You're trusting Him, and then you're not getting discouraged by closed doors. That's two things, right? You've got that. Remember that God reveals His will for you in segments. Biblically, it's so true that He's revealing His will to you in segments. He's not going to just He's not writing you a note other than this right here. This is enough, amen? And so here's number three, the last thing. Get it. Write it down. You got to keep active as you wait on God's open door. You've got to keep active as you wait on God's open door. What does that mean? What does it mean, preacher? Listen, it means that you serve right where you are. It means that you continue to be faithful. It means that you continue to be optimistic. It means that you continue to be hopeful. It means that you continue in the things of God right where you are. If it's in the job you're in, you're continuing to trust God. If it's with your children, you're continuing to trust God. Finances, whatever it is, you have to trust God. I love this about God, but it's important that you keep active. You got to keep moving. Paul, let me come down here so I don't trip over anything. Look, so here's Paul, and he's going, and he turns, and he tries to, and the door is closed, and he goes, and he turns again, and he can't go this way. He gets to the ship and at the Black Sea, and he thinks he's going to get on the ship, and he's not allowed to get on the ship. He thinks he's going to leave Bethany and head up towards Russia, and he's not able to do that. And so here it is, he walks a little further and he keeps running into doors, but he was faithful to keep moving. Do you get this, right? He's moving and he's serving, and then finally all of a sudden he turns, and when he turns, a door has been opened for him to continue to go. Wow! Isn't that dynamic? What do you think, Tony? Isn't that great that we don't have to worry about these closed doors? We have to worry about where God is already working. Because that's the great truth about God, isn't it? God's working. We just got to get in line with what God is doing. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I hope to do that. I hope to get in line with what God is doing. Amen? Don't you want to do that as an individual? Don't you want to get in line with where God is already working? So Paul encountered these closed doors, Galatia and Messia, and he continued to encounter them, and he gave up, and he was fixing to return to Antioch. Almost. He almost gave up. But he didn't sulk, and he didn't complain, and he believed, I think, that the worst thing that he could do was just to turn around, to sit still, and so he continued to be active. He said this, okay, God, I'm not moving until you show me which way to go. Did he do that? No. He kept moving. I think we can get guilty of that, can't we? You just get so comfortable, so satisfied that, you know, things are going good, and then all of a sudden we hit a detour, and then we just sit and we say, okay, God, I'm just not going to move until you show me which way to go. And I want to tell you, that's the wrong attitude. Because what happens when you sit? What am I doing? Nothing. I'm not doing anything. I'm satisfied with sitting. Nothing is going on around me. Nothing is going on right here at all. I am absolutely doing nothing. Just sitting. You know what happens if you sit too long? You get sore, right? You have to get up and move. You continue to move, and you continue to be faithful, and I think that God blesses that. So instead, he keeps moving. He took another direction. He ended up going west. And then as he was moving west, God directed him to take the gospel all the way into Europe. That's, you know, this is what God was up to all along. They wanted to go this way and this way and this way, and then wasn't that way that he was supposed to go. So he turned around. See, that is west, right? Is that west, Brad? So he was going another way, and then he went west. And then when he went west, there were doors open. I love that picture. I love that he continued to be faithful. And so he said, forget about all of these doors that have closed. I'm looking for the one that's open. Right? For you, in your family, with your marriage, with school, you continue to keep moving. You know, you ever been in a boat? How many of you have been in boats? Can you steer a boat if the motor's not pushing you forward? Will the rudder turn it? It won't, will it? You're completely at the discretion of the current. You can't turn it. But if you're moving in that boat, then you can turn that steering wheel and that rudder turns one direction and the boat steers the opposite, right? Isn't that great? You continue to focus and you continue to keep serving. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9 says this. It says, but I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door of effective work has opened to me. And there are also many who oppose me. He wasn't worried about the opposition. He was worried about the door. So because there were so many people who needed to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the most important thing in life, friends? You can say that it's wealth. You can say that it's family. You can say that it's all these things. But I'm going to tell you right now, the most important thing in life is to tell people about Jesus. The most important truth in life, to tell people about Jesus. And that's where Paul was. That's what he wanted to do. He was going to be faithful to do that. And so here we are in Acts chapter 16, verse 10. And Scripture says they sailed immediately and they headed west. And they, a straight line. And what that is really is that there was a wind behind them that was pushing them to make sure that they got to their destination. Wow. God was directing. And it's amazing that when God gets on board, that there are no obstacles too big for you to overcome wherever you are in life. And so understand this, that you're going to have to wait. Sometimes that's what God calls us to do. While you're waiting, God wants you to learn something. While you're waiting, God has a plan. While you're waiting, you have to continue to be active. You have to continue to serve while you're waiting. If God shut a door, you need to make sure that God is the one that shut that door, because sometimes we get caught up. The devil can shut a door too that God wanted open. And so sometimes it is that God desires for you to figure these things out. Is it God closing these doors? Is it God opening these doors? You just have to remain faithful. And so here it is this morning. There's sometimes that they're just doors that are closed. But I love this right here, Revelation 3 verse 20, what Jesus says. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Ha, oh, that's good. It's talking about your heart's door. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll go in and eat with him and he with me. So you're talking about waiting on God, preacher, and you end with a verse like that? What does that mean? What are you talking about? It simply means this. Sometimes we're doing things in the flesh and under our own power, under our own authority, and God's not involved in any way. And then all of a sudden it comes along where God begins to knock on our heart's door. God is knocking and he's knocking and he's knocking, and this is talking about salvation. But he's knocking and we continue to push that knock away until it gets so dull that we can't hear the knock anymore. Or maybe you're right in the middle of the knock right now and you can hear the knock. and it's loud and it's pounding on your chest, because the scripture is very vivid about what's going on here. It's a great visual picture about King Jesus standing at the heart's door, knocking and knocking and knocking, and you've been busy waiting and hoping and searching for around the world for things to fill the void in your life. But you have to understand today as we conclude that if Jesus stands at the door and knocks, that you have to go to the door and you have to open it. So today, maybe it's you've been worrying about God opening this door, God closing that door, when reality is God's been standing at your heart's door and He's been knocking. And He's been knocking. And He's been knocking. And He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to listen. He's trying to get you to pay attention to what He's doing around you. And He's knocking, and He's knocking, and He's knocking, and He's waiting, and He's waiting, and He's waiting. But if you continue to wait and not open the door, you're going to go open the door to an empty place. So this morning, as we conclude this, let me ask you, what is God burdening you for today? How is God speaking to your heart? What is God calling you to? What has God been doing in your life? You've been trying to go. You've been busy. Maybe the problem with you is you've been overly busy, that you've not been paying attention to God. We get guilty of that, don't we? Oh, me, preacher. We get so busy that we don't hear God. And so maybe it is that God is knocking this morning and He's crying out to you. And His greatest desire is that you would just pay attention and you would go open the door. And you open it and you see Jesus and He says to you, "Here I am. I've been waiting for a long time. Here I am. I've been hoping that you would hear the knock. Here I am. I've been waiting. I almost gave up, but I kept knocking." Today, maybe it is that the Lord is knocking on your heart. Maybe it is that He's calling you to salvation. Maybe it is that He's telling you that you need Jesus as Savior. Maybe it is, we can take this and spin this another way. Maybe it is that He's been trying to get your attention to serve some way or another. And you've just been deaf. You just haven't listened. Maybe it is that God is calling you to a closer walk with Him. Whatever it is, whatever decision you need to make, I believe with all of my heart that you never leave without having done business with God. So today I want to ask you, what door in your life today is God calling you through? Is it a door of service? Is it a call to come back home? Or is it a call to salvation? What kind of knock are you hearing today? Will you answer the call today? Father in heaven, Lord, today, in the magnificent name of Jesus, we had an opportunity to spend some time in Your Word. And Lord, we see the importance of us being busy while we wait on You. Father, I know that there are a lot of obstacles that get in our way. Lord, that the devil, that his demons, that even we ourselves or other individuals can interfere, that can cause interference with what You've called us to do. But maybe it is today, Lord, that You've been knocking on our heart's door and we feel Your presence maybe more than any time in our past. Father, I pray today that as we experience that knock on our heart's door, that we would go and we would open that door wide. Lord, today that as we open that door wide, that we would invite You in to come and to spend time with us. But Father, most importantly, it's not about us spending time with You. It's about You desiring to spend time with us. And Lord, You want that for all people. So maybe it is today that, Lord, we've just been maybe we've been absent in our relationship with You. Lord, maybe we've trusted You as Savior, but maybe it is that this hectic world that we live in has pulled us away. That we've not been focused, that our vision isn't clear anymore. Father, I pray today in the magnificent name of Jesus that we would hear that knock and that we would invite You back in. Lord, not that we lose our salvation, it's just that we get far from you. And Lord, thank you that you never leave us. Thank you that you never forsake us. Thank you that our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Thank you for loving us unconditionally the way you do as your children. But Father, maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. And right now, Lord, you're pounding on their heart's door. Father, you're hoping that they open that door. But Father, it's up to them. They're hoping and they're hoping and they're hoping. May those heart's doors be open today, that you would be invited in to be someone's Lord and Savior today. Father, we just give this time to you. Whatever decisions need to be made, that you speak to our hearts mightily today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand as they sing during this invitation time. Would you respond to God this morning? You come.